Our gospel reading this morning comes from the sixth chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Take a moment for our family faith time to gather around our little table. And an invitation for you to be doing the same at home in these days. I want to think with you a little bit about Psalm 100 that you helped us read responsively this morning. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. It is obvious that we have a lot to be thankful for. Thanks, first of all, for the card to both Pastor Lee and myself. It's just an incredible gift to be here and be part of this community, so we want to share a word of thanks back to you. Thankfulness for the group of people who gathered around here yesterday. There were somewhere between 10 and a dozen who came by and helped clean up outside. If you go outside, you'll notice that all of the hostas, all of the peonies, all of the other plants have been trimmed back. There's a dumpster full of leaves and branches and all sorts of plants. So thanks to people who showed up. Those of you who didn't show up, I got to tell you, you missed out because Lois Swenson provided the greatest homemade donuts. And so we give thanks to Lois. So what do you have to be thankful for? Psalm 100, sometimes called Old 100, invites us into a posture of thanksgiving. I invite you to sit back sometime today and think about what it is that you have to be thankful for. If you've got kids in the house, maybe you want to make a game of it. Come up with five things and maybe they get a prize for naming that. Or maybe if you come up with five things, you give yourself a prize, right? But as we look around, we begin to notice how abundantly God blesses us. And so we give thanks. Invite you to spend some time doing that today. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today we are kicking off our fall stewardship campaign. I'm sorry. I thought that there might be some screams or something. I thought there might be people who would jump up out of the pew and run for the doors because I know the truth is that there are people who would rather talk about or sit in the chair and have a root canal than to talk about stewardship. I know it. But hang with me, please. Hang with me. I want to start by showing you a picture this morning. This, for me, is a perfect example of what stewardship looks like. This is our son, Brandon, when he was about a first grader or so. The picture, you might be able to make it out, you may not. In his right hand, he is holding a shark. I want to tell you that at that age, there were two things that were the center of Brandon's lives: sharks and dinosaurs. I will tell you that at that time in life, I hated the Discovery Network's Shark Week because it was the only television channel that he allowed to have to be on in the house. Brandon had a whole collection of little sharks like this. And one day I caught him bounding out of our house, headed out the door with a shark in hand. And I knew in my mind where that shark was headed. It was headed for a mud puddle that was out in the area, and that he would take it for a swim, cover it in mud, and bring it into the house, leaving the mud everywhere. I knew it. And I said, "Brandon, where are you going with the shark?" "I'm going to Walter's." Walter was his best buddy, lived a couple of houses down. "Why are you taking your shark to Walter's?" "Well, Dad, Walter doesn't have any sharks, and I've got plenty. I'm going to give him this one." Brandon had taken stock. He saw his supply of sharks. He had seen that Walter didn't have any. And in a move of pure generosity, in a move of pure stewardship, he was taking what he had and giving it away to someone who he knew needed one. Stewardship, first and foremost, I want you to know, is about joy. That whatever we give, whatever we do, we give it joyfully. Brandon had a smile on his face that day. The reading that Margaret shared from 2 Corinthians, Paul is telling us that God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever we give, time, talent, or treasure, we give with great joy. But I think early on in the sermon, it's really important for me to share with you what I believe stewardship is not. Stewardship is not about shaming. It's not about making you feel guilty or embarrassing you. If that's been your experience in the midst of talking about stewardship before, please listen carefully, because that is not what we believe in here and how we will be leading out into the future. Our call as pastors of the church is to help build up people in their faith so that they can be fellow proclaimers, you all, of the gospel wherever you live and play and engage. Because this work is too big for just the two of us. It's all of us together who get to be the gospel in the world. And that process of you blossoming into the disciple that you're called to be will be thwarted if we talk about stewardship in a way that embarrasses, guilts, or shames you. Stewardship is not about that at all. So as I see it at its heart, stewardship is about being a manager, a caretaker. And if you're a manager or a caretaker, then quickly you realize you're not the owner. Scripture talks about us as being managers and caretakers. And as I've told you before, I believe in holistic stewardship. Stewardship of time, talents, and treasures. This fall, we are going to be focusing on money. Later, we will be focusing on talent and treasure. But as we go into Genesis, That's where God calls us managers. I want you to go back to Genesis 1 with me. I want you to remember God in the process of creating out of that dark, murky nothingness. God pulled out all of creation, fish and fowl and plant, stars and seas and everything else. God created it all. And then out of the dirt, God pulled a man. And God even breathed life into the lungs of that first human. Absolutely everything has been created by God. Before God entered into creation, there was nothing. Which reminds us that absolutely everything that we have comes from God. I mean, we want to claim ownership, but the truth is, it is God that has created it all and has turned it over to us for a bit of time. Maybe 50 or 70 or 80 or 90 years. We get to manage it and care for it for our families, for our neighbors, for those around us. For a bit of time. And as God created, God looked at it all and said that what God created was good. With a smile on God's face, God named it all good. Genesis tells us that we are created in God's image. And that is really an important concept as well when it comes to stewardship. Because I believe that there is a reason that we find joy in our hearts when we give. So yesterday, people showed up, and for about an hour, hour and a half, we cut down plants, we raked leaves, we laughed. We told stories together as we worked. People had a good time. Why? Why in the midst of working together would you have a good time? Because we're living as God created us to live. God created us to give of our time, our talents, and our treasures. People were giving yesterday, and that feels good. It feels good because we have been created to give. We were living out being in God's image. So here's what we've talked about so far. Stewardship is about giving joyfully. Time, talent, and treasure. Stewardship is not about shame and guilt and embarrassment. To be a steward is to live in God's image. So we're entering into a program called Creating a Culture of Generosity. We're doing that with about 10 other congregations from across Western North Dakota. We've got a coach who's helping us think about stewardship, and we're talking about this as a journey. It's a journey. Because stewardship is a lifelong process. So let me tell you a little bit about my journey. Most of you know I grew up near Douglas. Jan and I got married very young. And pretty quickly after wrapping up at college, I didn't say graduate. That's a longer story for another time. But we ended up moving back to Douglas, bought a house right across the street from the church, became members or continued to be members of Trinity Lutheran at Douglas. And I remember getting the little white box of envelopes. But no one talked to us about stewardship. No one really said anything. I really didn't know, other than we're supposed to put something in there. I had no idea. Really didn't begin a deep understanding or journey of stewardship until a dozen, maybe 13 years later, while I was in seminary and on internship. Third year of seminary, we were in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I was an intern at Gloria Day Lutheran Church, and a woman got up and told her stewardship story. A young woman, two kids that were in probably junior high at the time. She was divorced within the previous year or so. And she told the story publicly in front of the whole congregation. about how her and her kids had sat down and talked about the priorities in their lives and how they were going to make decisions about what they were going to do going into the future. They talked about money together as well, and in the midst of those conversations together, they made a choice to downsize, to sell the large house they have, to get something smaller, and then they were able to reprioritize the way they spent their money, including what they gave to the church. I sat back in awe, shocked that people actually sat together and talked about money. And it began a journey for Jan and I of having conversation about what priorities were and where we're going and how and what we will give. It was life-changing for me. I fully believe that giving, whatever we give, is an act of gratitude, our way of acknowledging or saying thanks to God who's given us all that we have. God provides for us. I mean, the truth is, sometimes in the midst of this crazy world, we forget. We forget that it is God who has given us everything that we have. The gospel text for today lays it out in beautiful form, that we don't need to worry, that God takes care of everything. The birds of the air are fed by God's hands, so why do you worry? The lilies of the field are dressed more beautifully than Solomon, so why do you worry? God's got this. Matthew writes, God's got this. Hold on to it. And then we've got this Old Testament story of the widow and her son. It is a story of sheer desperation. They are at their wits' end. She has taken the last bit of meal, the last bit of oil. She's going to make two small cakes out of it, eat and die. It is a story of deep despair. And Elijah comes to her and says, well, tell you what, make me a cake first. How audacious is that? This woman has just told him it is her last food. She is ready to die. Make me a cake first. She does. And in the end, her meal jar never runs empty. The jug never runs dry. And as Margaret read it this morning, something caught my ear that I have never heard in this text before, which I have read and read and read. That it wasn't only her that was sustained, it was her entire household. Now, I don't have a magical meal jug or jar. My refrigerator does not automatically fill itself. And yet, I will tell you that every time worry creeps into the back of my mind and I wonder about what's going to happen next, somehow it works out. Now, usually I can't figure this out in the midst of it. It's looking in hindsight and somehow to see God weaving and working by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where gratitude and thankfulness that somehow God is caring for me and us together. So in the coming weeks, you are going to hear some stories from members of the congregation about their generosity journey, about the importance of ministry here to them. And I just ask you to listen. You are eventually going to get handed to you here at worship or in the mail. There's going to be a little card that will come to you inviting you to make an intent for the coming year. I want to strongly urge you to fill that out. The stewardship team has gotten together and they've come up with a big hairy, audacious goal. We want 200 families to fill those little cards out. That's really a big deal because last year only about 60 families did. Why? Because we want to help you start your own generosity journey. We want you to have a conversation and think about what God is calling you to do in the way of your giving. So maybe you're saying to yourself, well, Pastor Mark, no one's ever really talked with me about this, so what do? Just start. Take a step. Maybe you give sporadically. Maybe this year you make a decision that you're going to make a commitment to give regularly, whatever that means to you. Maybe it's every week. Maybe it's every other week. Maybe it's once a month. That's the first step in a generosity journey. But maybe you say, so I don't know, what does that look like? How much? Well, whatever you're comfortable with. Remember, every gift is important. Every gift is going to be celebrated. If you're beginning a journey, maybe you take a step into the water by saying $1 a day. Or maybe $50 a month. Or whatever. It's the beginning of a journey. And maybe you've been on the journey for a while and you don't know what to do. Well, maybe you take a step forward beyond what you've done in the past. Or maybe in this crazy COVID world, your life circumstances have changed and you've got to take a step backwards this year. You need to know that that's a faithful decision as well. If your employment status has changed, that's nothing to be embarrassed about. That's faithful as well. But hear it again. Whatever you give it joyfully. Whatever you give it as a sign of praise and thanksgiving to God for all that God has given. And let's start a journey together. Or if you're already on the journey, let's continue it together. Thanks be to God. Amen.